Finding a hoodie that lasts through the season can be tough. The American Giant Classic Full Zip Hoodie is made to last a lifetime, so you can count on it year after year. Every American Giant piece is made in America and designed to last. No exceptions. The result is durable clothing that becomes part of your life. Snag the hoodie that will bring you comfort for life. The American Giant Classic Full Zip. Save 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com when you use Staple 20 at checkout.
And welcome to Behind the Headlines, where over the next 10 minutes or so, I'll be giving you your daily roundup of some of the stories our reporters have been covering across the UK today. The ones that get us talking, the ones that have us smiling, and the more serious items on the news agenda. Today we're hearing about a worrying health trend that's got people in the world of aesthetics crying out for more regulation as we take a deeper dive into so-called Botox parties.
What is exactly going to happen? Because we all know there's a lack of regulation, there's a lack of enforcement in the industry.
We've also got a couple in Scotland who are taking government ministers to court over whether their human rights were breached when they lost their winter fuel payments. And what do meerkats and Marie Curie have in common? Well, you'll have to stay tuned to find out. It's Thursday, the 13th of March, 2025, and I'm Stephanie Allison. Come with me as I take you behind the headlines. First tonight, the Prime Minister says axing NHS England is expected to free up hundreds of millions of pounds. Our political editor Georgie Prodromo has more.
This is the body that leads the NHS in England. It's meant to be responsible for supporting staff, providing high quality care and making sure we're getting value for money.
I'm bringing management of the NHS back into democratic control by abolishing the arm's-length body, NHS England.
In a surprise announcement, the Prime Minister says he'll cut the bureaucracy.
We've got a communications team in NHS England. We've got a communications team in the Health Department of Government. We've got a strategy team in NHS England, a strategy team in the Government Department. We're duplicating things that could be done once.
This will mean thousands of people losing their jobs. Health Secretary Wes Streeting spoke in the Commons earlier.
This Labour government will never duck the hard yards of reform. We will take on vested interests and change the status quo so the NHS can once again be there for us when we need it.
And former Conservative Health Secretary Jeremy Hunt had this to say.
Can I commend the boldness of today's announcement? Yeah. If the NHS is going to be turned around, it's going to need radical reforms. Yeah. If the result of today is to replace bureaucratic over-centralisation with political over-centralisation, it will fail.
Keir Starmer isn't able to abolish the same organisations in Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland as they're devolved.
Stats out today show nearly 16 million people in the UK have witnessed shoplifting in the past year. Figures from the British Retail Consortium suggest that's an average of 2,000 reports a day. Nottingham tops the list of places with the highest rates, with one in three people saying they've seen it happen. We've been out in Old Market Square to get reaction.
The staff go up to them because they've been shoplifting and they start making threats to their families and all sorts.
Maybe people don't feel they're paid enough to risk life and limb, you know what I mean?
The shopkeepers themselves have no powers. A friend of mine was told, do not intervene, you've got to just let it happen, which is awful, really.
I saw someone walk out with like a whole pack of Coke cans and then come back for another lot.
I don't know exactly what they took, but I did see a woman going to Boots quite clearly take some stuff off the front shelves.
Crime cost retailers an eye-watering £4.2 billion last year. Half of that was shoplifting alone, but the rest was for things like CCTV, more security personnel and body-worn cameras. We've been speaking to Matthew Chapman, who's the chief exec of the Harrogate Business Improvement District, and what they're doing to tackle the issue.
Well, as the bid, we've employed a colleague, and his role is called Town Centre Support Officer. So he's out and about, he's encouraging people to report the crime, because a lot of crimes just go unreported, and we need as many people as possible to get those crime figures up. Our colleague, the Town Centre Support Officer, is also retrieving stolen goods, he's also acts as a uniform presence, and he's also information sharing. So a lot of the time, A lot of these challenges can be righted by just preventative measures. So we have a radio scheme in Harrogate. We're hoping to introduce an app where images of people, descriptions of people can be shared. We've got 492 members. So hopefully if somebody is coming into Harrogate and, you know, they're dressed in all in black and they're attempting shoplifting, we can share that with our members within a couple of clicks of a button on our phone or through our radio scheme.
A court case is being heard in Edinburgh about the decision to axe universal winter fuel payments for millions of pensioners across the UK. Peter and Flo Fanning have taken the step in the hopes of having the money restored. They've been speaking with our Scotland political editor, Alan Smith.
We don't put our heating on all through the day. It's too costly. We've got a wee halogen heater to move about from the living room up to the bedrooms.
I think maybe they thought that, you know, people like myself, old-age pensioners, would just roll over and calm down and not say it.
Well, this was Peter and Flo this morning, just moments before the case got underway. It's being heard at the highest civil court in Scotland, the Court of Session. The couple from Cope Bridge in North Lanarkshire are accusing both the UK and Scottish governments of breaching their human rights.
It's not about the money, it's about the principle. It's about that whole challenge that you have to put a challenge to people in power to ensure they do their job. But part of their job was to do that assessment, and they didn't do it. That's the end of the story.
Former SNP MP Joanna Cherry KC is arguing on behalf of the couple. She took on the case following the death of former First Minister Alex Salmond. He originally led their campaign. They argue neither government consulted with pensioners or produced an impact assessment before cutting the universal payment. Both governments have rejected any unlawful behaviour and say they're supporting pensioners in other ways. The case will be heard over 2 days, but a ruling could be some weeks or months away.
A teenager who repeatedly stabbed a 15-year-old girl in a row over a teddy bear in South London has been sentenced to at least 23 years in prison for her murder. Hassan Sintamu, who is 18, attacked Elian Andam outside a shopping centre in Croydon in September 2023. Our reporter Claire Bode's been following the case at the Old Bailey.
Every day I wake up to the crushing reality that she is gone. The silence in our home is deafening. Comments made by Elian's father, Michael, at today's sentencing. There were emotional scenes in court this morning, many in the public gallery wiping away tears. Elian was stabbed to death by the then 17-year-old Hassan Sintamu at the Whitgift shopping centre in Croydon in September 2023. Elian's cousin Gideon gave this statement outside of court.
She was a light in all our lives, full of love for her family, her friends and her God. While we are grateful that the legal system has done what it can, the truth is that no amount of time in prison will ease our grief or fill the void that left by her presence.
Hassan Sintamu has been sentenced to life in prison with a minimum term of 23 years.
Now, we've all heard of Anne Summers parties, Avon parties, and if you remember back that far, Tupperware parties. You know the ones. You go along, try some of the products and have the opportunity to buy them at a discounted rate. Well, a new craze of boozy gatherings organised by unlicensed beauticians is throwing up some serious questions from those in the aesthetics industry. Our reporter Alice Faulkner has gone out to try and find some answers about Botox parties.
Music, good company, drinks and Botox? It might not be a regular party favour, but boozy gatherings with this injectable are becoming all the more common. Today, Health Improvement Scotland warned about the very real risks associated with undergoing this cosmetic treatment in a non-clinical setting and while under the influence of alcohol. It's the first time the regulator has spoken out about the risks of unregulated cosmetic procedures, despite years of lobbying from campaigners who want there to be stricter laws around aesthetics. Susan McMahon is a lawyer-turned-nurse who runs her own beauty clinic in Glasgow.
I'm exceptionally disappointed. There are bigger issues at play here. But Botox parties are an issue, but the fact that such a light-touch announcement has been made shows how completely out of touch they are in relation to the key issues in the industry.
The watchdog is clear. If you want Botox, you should get it done by a licensed practitioner in a safe setting. But for those behind the needle, that advice is too little, too late.
Researchers at the University of Exeter say we're almost at a tipping point where we're more likely to be buying a used electric vehicle than a used petrol or diesel one. They've been analysing online searches. Our chief reporter Andrew Kay has more.
Well, I actually have an electric vehicle, which I use for work, and I'm not alone. The biggest growth market for EVs is with companies increasingly asking staff to use them.
We mainly see increases in companies buying large fleets of electric vehicles because there's incentives to do so.
Dr. Chris Bolton is from the University of Exeter.
People are looking online and they're seeing that the price of electric vehicles are similar, even cheaper. People think the batteries are going to last a lot longer now than they did a few years ago. You know, we've got more infrastructure nowadays as well as better technology for batteries to be able to withstand longer journeys.
I've actually come to the Southwest's biggest charging station at Exeter Services, where in front of me I can see at least 50 chargers and quite a lot of bored looking people in their cars waiting for their vehicles to charge. So let's get out and see what they say.
I've done 135,000 miles in this car. I've just driven from London to Exeter. Lost about 5 miles of range in the time I've had the car.
Really did have range anxiety to start with because I've always had petrol or diesel cars, but because of the network coming down the M5, it's been ideal.
It's a case of that second-hand market. A lot of it now, the company cars, it's good for cities, but I find for long journeys, like when you're down in towards Cornwall area, there's not a lot of charging places.
We've got 16 of these in the fleet and our repair bills are next to nothing. We've saved quite a phenomenal amount of money on fuel.
The infrastructure helps a lot. A lot more people are willing to go electric.
Researchers say they hope this research shows policymakers there is a demand for EVs and the rollout of chargers should be increased.
To entertainment news now, where Stephen Graham says he decided to make his new series Adolescence after seeing news stories about young people involved in knife crime. The Netflix show follows a 13-year-old boy who's arrested for the murder of a girl from his school. Our showbiz reporter Lucy Ford has been catching up with the cast on how it worked to film the whole series in one consecutive shot.
How does that change things sort of narratively for you guys? Like, does it affect how you are working with the script? Because you won't have cuts and...
Well, it was always in the back of your mind that you're doing a one shot and, you know, like, you can mess up. It's perfectly fine to mess up, but you don't want to at the same time because you'll have to go to the very beginning. But I think it's better because when you're doing, like, a normal show, you're in it, you're doing all the emotions and then you cut and then you get a drink of water and then you go back in it. But with this, you're in it from the start, you're in it for the whole way through. So that's why it's amazing. So, because it helps you. It's literally helping you act, really.
It's kind of like a football team in many ways because it's like what you were saying about the theatre. It's the collective consciousness that you kind of create in that place, you know what I mean?
It even felt like that watching, I'll say, like just seeing how the camera sort of handed off to different people.
There's two cameramen. Wow. Yeah. Obviously, Matt, who's our DOP, who's... Unbelievable. Yeah. And Lee, our other cameraman, who's also fantastic. Yeah. And them two pass the camera to each other quite often.
And we've kept you waiting right to the end, but Belfast Zoo is naming two baby meerkats, Daffa and Dill, to celebrate Marie Curie's annual great, yes, you guessed it, daffodil appeal in Northern Ireland. It's to mark a special anniversary for the charity. Our reporter Hannah Patterson has been lucky enough to meet them.
The appeal is an annual fundraising campaign involving the sale of daffodil pins and to raise funds to support individuals and families living with terminal illnesses. Rory Donaghy is a zookeeper at Belfast Zoo. He's been looking after the baby meerkats.
It's touched hearts of a lot of sort of friends and family. It's a real honour to have them today, especially naming our pups as well, because with Daffo and Dill, we're able to let people know just, you know, how that originated, how they got their names, and it's a great way for us to be able to just make people aware of the work that they do.
Lucille Cullen is a healthcare assistant with the charity. She says the appeal does so much for them year in, year out.
It's a lovely time for everybody to get together and people stop you and talk to you and have had experiences and enjoy working for us, and even a lot of our patients, their families still come back and do the fundraising and still keep in touch. Everybody can see the daffodils and be aware of what's going on.
The naming of Daffo and Dill hopes to raise awareness for Marie Curie's 60th anniversary of the daffodil appeal.
And you can find out more on these and other stories on the news pages of our radio station website, or we're across all the usual social media channels. And don't forget to come back here or wherever you get your podcast for another roundup of some of the day's top and most interesting stories on Behind the Headlines.